love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, it is official. This is from the automatically deleted husband. The streets of Chattanooga are safe again. You can drive freely without worry because I am no longer behind the wheel. Although, on the way down to Chattanooga today, on the other side of the highway, there was a car on fire. Very reminiscent of my event when I was in a car on fire, except I had a bigger pile of flame. They already had a couple of fire department trucks there, so it wasn't anywhere near the flames that I had. But there was definitely a whole lot of smoke coming out of the vehicle. So Jim Letter did show up with one foot in a large plastic bag with a bunch of bandages on it. We did go down. You know, I drove him from here downtown. It was very strange. I haven't, you know, because the last time I went to Chattanooga was driving Mike Day to his doctor. So it's, you know, I drive other people's vehicles and take them to doctors. It's just kind of, I guess, the thing I do. But it was very strange because, like I say, it's the first time behind the wheel of a car in like 2.5 years. So it was really, really strange. But not a problem. No issue. I did ask. I asked Sharon Leonard before. Is the pedal on the left or the right to make you go and stop? But we did go there. We had a delightful conversation there and so forth. And I have to show you something. Well, I have to show you two things. Let me get a reminder of that one. I have something I've never had before. An official mask. This was handed to, you know, we walked into the doctor's office and, said, you know, do you have a mask? And the guy, there was kind of a guard at the desk. He handed one to Jim Leonard and one to me. And I took it and, you know, said, thank you. I put it in my bag. I have still never worn a mask. So I now have one, but I've never worn a mask. So I was in the doctor's office today and saw probably at least 2, maybe 3 dozen people there. There was a moment when I saw at least one other person not wearing a mask, but shortly thereafter he put it on. I was asked once to don the mask by a the medical staff receptionist. And I simply said, I have CO2 issues. And that was the end of it. Nobody else talked to me about it. Jim Leonard's mask slowly came down, you know, under the nose, which is very common. And eventually it was under the chin. Because, you know, I did try to think ahead of time, what is the appropriate response? Because the objective was not to cause a stir, not to cause a fight. I simply don't want to wear a mask. And, you know, if I point to I decided to say the CO2 issues, because when you wear a mask, as I pointed out before, you can take a, you know, CO2 sensor, stick it in the mask while you're wearing the mask, and you will find even a cloth mask, this works. Because it's been done by a fairly good size controlled randomized study to determine the impact of a mask in the sense of CO2 levels. You know, because you breathe in oxygen and you exhale carbon dioxide, you know, which is the opposite of what plants do. They take in the carbon dioxide and spit out oxygen. Kind of balances things out. Maybe large plant or something of that nature. But what happens is when you wear the mask, that normal process of breathing changes, and you end up rebreathing a lot of your carbon dioxide, and the carbon dioxide level in your body, or you know, in your mouth, or what's, you know, going in and out, gets to a level that's above what OSHA considers safe. It's considered toxic. And again, it's a common complaint, apparently, in medical staff wearing masks are headaches. And why? Because your oxygen level has been tainted. But so I tried to do the simple line of I have CO2 issues because it, you know, and that was enough. And so I didn't have to go into that any further, which I am grateful for. It was a repeated request to the Lord before we went, because there's no point in fighting this. But it does bring up something. So right now I actually have a mask. I've still never worn a mask. And now it's been several times because I was at the hospital here locally to see Jim Leonard, and now at this doctor's office. So at two medical facilities, never worn a mask. I've several stores when they had signs out say customers to wear a mask. I simply don't go to the stores anymore. But obviously, in the case to see Jim Leonard, I was going to be willing to put one on if I had to. But in both cases, at the hospital and here, I was asked, and I one ignored it, and the other, I took the mask with the security guard, and then never put it on. And when I was asked at the receptionist desk, I simply gave a rational excuse, because apparently I don't know what the state of the laws are, but there is apparently if you have a medical excuse, you don't have it, you don't have to wear a mask. Exemption or whatever, how it stands, because I know these things are constantly in flux. I don't know, but again, my objective was not to be to cause a ruckus. I simply wanted to refuse. You know, it's the it's the words. If we go to the book of Daniel, a story you may be familiar with. Yes. There is the Daniel 3, they set up the Nebuchadnezzar sets up the golden image. When you hear the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, a bagpipe, and every kind of music. I've always thought that, you know, interesting phrase. The idea was, here is, there are certain Jews who have you appointed over your affairs of your province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That's the mask. It really is the mask. Because again, you have a decade plus of controlled, large-scale controlled, you know, multiple thousands, controlled randomized studies showing that the masks are useless to prevent viral infections. I mean, not just kind of not so effective, useless. So why is it done? Again, I will stand on the idea. The mask are the armbands of 100 years ago. It shows submission. Again, it's not trust the science, it's trust the authorities. Because the science says the mask are useless. The authorities say wear the mask. What you see in the case of Daniel 3 is the idea of submit to the authority. And what happens if there's somebody who doesn't submit to the authority, because what he was asking for these guys to bow down to the statue is to worship another god. And, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, I will not do that. And I will contend. You know, I know rational people will debate this, but I will contend. Wearing the mask, again, is showing submission. You're showing submission to the state. You're showing submission to an authority, not to science. You're only showing submission to authority. And you place that authority over God. Because, as I point out with the CO2 issue, it is causing self-harm. So what you're doing is harming yourself, even if it's only a little bit, in order to be submissive to an authority. And I would suggest this is wrong and it should not be done. So thus far, I've never worn a mask. But I have one. But it reminded me again today, because I have seen so many people in dialogues who are in fear. I've pointed out, especially more in the height of the pandemic, when I was it happened three times, walking down Peerless, the street on the way to or from Publix, and had a gentleman, I don't know if it was the same each time, one time walked way into a parking lot, one time walked into the, well into yard of a house there. I think that he actually did that twice. So anyway, but what you saw, and of course wearing a mask, what you saw is fear. And I pointed this out before. Isaiah 8, verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that these people call conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling both in the house of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will hope in him. I think this is a model very applicable today. Obviously we have, start from the beginning. Thus the Lord spoke to me with a strong hand upon me. Your only hope, really, your only hope is the Lord's strong hand upon you. If his hand doesn't hold you and protect you, you have no hope. I mean, and warn me not to walk in the way of this people. I will contend people who are trusting in authorities, institutions, or whatnot. That's identical to what's happening here. I'm going to trust the Lord, sort of, but I'm going to use my institution or whatever as my reference. No, the Lord is your reference. The Lord is the one that holds you, not the institution. They will abandon you. I know this very well. And the do not call conspiracy all that these people call conspiracy. It's sometimes translated, do not call it confederacy. It's interesting because I did look up confederacy in a couple of, especially, the etymology of it. Because, obviously we have the confederacy in the sense of the southern states in the U.S. that broke off. It's kind of like the Donbass breaking off in Ukraine. But anyway, definition, a union of persons, parties, or states, a league, persons, party, or states joined in such a union, and a group of people who have united for unlawful practices or a conspiracy. So the idea of a confederacy, in the sense of the U.S. Confederacy, or the Confederate States, it's not a conspiracy in the sense of we're doing this for malicious reasons. We are forming a group separate. But the idea of a conspiracy, that's what we see here. Anyway, but okay. I would suggest what's happening. There is a group of people who are forming a conspiracy. You know, a good example would be, I mean, there's multiple organizations, but the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and so forth, I think are good symbols of this confederacy or conspiracy. But what are they? What's the tool that they have? Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. They put in place this idea that if you don't wear a mask, you're going to give me a terrible disease, and I'm going to die a painful death. It's absolute malarkey. There's no evidence for that. There is simply no evidence for it. It is, you know, again, I've gone over that so many times. It is a fraud. The whole thing is a fraud. But, you know, it goes on with the next verse. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So I don't fear what the world fears. I fear the Lord, the one who can cast me into hell. I don't like that idea. I am rather concerned. So it is the Lord and the Lord alone that I fear. And it's a respectful fear. But let me remind you again, because there's a companion effectively to these verses, 1 Peter 3. But even if you shall suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. It is the same idea, because earlier in that chapter, it's the wife, do not fear what they fear. It's the same idea. But it goes on. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Isaiah 8:13, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. It's not a similar passage, it's identical. It is identical. Because the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Christ the Lord and the Lord of hosts is the same person. He is our creator, the one and only Lord. You know, we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, but it's one Lord. The Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. If you look, I check the words in the Septuagint, so in the Greek, they use the same words in both passages. So it is not loosely similar, it's identical. It is our Lord, our Creator, Jesus Christ, we honor as holy. We set him apart in our hearts. And him and him alone do we fear. We do not fear what the world fears. We fear the Lord. It's interesting to me because in Isaiah, he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling, both to the house of Israel and a trap and snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know, I've mentioned before how Israel has multiple meanings. You know, it's Jacob, the individual, the one person. There's only one. His descendants the northern kingdom and the elect, depending upon the context. And what you see here, the stumbling, both houses of Israel. In this case, I would suggest we're talking about the descendants of Jacob. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem, I think we're talking literally, because obviously what happened before was less than ideal circumstances for the city of Jerusalem at that time. So I think we're talking physical there. We're not talking the elect. Because it's a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel. So that's for those who stumble. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. You know, both houses of Israel, house of Israel, house of Jacob. And hiding his face from the house of Jacob, I will hope in him. I will hope in Christ. You know, and the I, obviously, I in this case is Isaiah. And I think it's the model for us. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him alone, do I put my hope, my trust, my faith. There is no other place. I don't hope in an institution. I don't hope in my beloved government, medical science, because that's just a marketing term. Because again, the science behind the mask, it says the masks are useless. So, anyway, but also, you know, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up this testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. I think that's another point there. So here, if you're fearing what they fear, they're going to stumble on it. Don't fear what they fear. Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. What is the Great Commission? Make disciples. Not make conversions, make disciples. So bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. In other words, to those who you disciple, in the sense that we strive to inform, to teach. Again, we don't take on the title of teacher, but we're called to teach. Those are disciples, not of us, of the Lord. And we need to make sure the Lord's teaching, and to teach the idea, trust is in the Lord. Which I think would also, you know, especially the idea of you know, do this with gentleness and respect. You know, that's why, again, I spend a lot of time trying to plan ahead. These are the circumstances I might get into. I want to respond in such a way that is concise, and I'm not trying to cause controversy. I'm trying to get a point across. And I'm trying to do it with gentleness and respect. Therefore, my response today, I have CO2 issues. You know, and the irony is, the medical staff that I dealt with may have no idea that there are CO2 issues with masks. But anyway, that I wanted to get that across. What I did today was a remarkable honor. Jim Leonard is in pain. It's calm normally, but you touch the foot or do something the wrong way, he's in immense pain. When we're at the office, the bandages is removed from his foot. That's a big sore. I mean, it's huge. And it was touched in the wrong way. And I saw him suddenly go into really severe pain. And it took probably a minute or so for him to stabilize because it hurt. But I had the privilege, the honor. Joy is a tough word, but the honor to be there with him. Because I was kind of sitting in a chair, stood away as he and the doctor were interacting with, you know, the nursing staff around. And when he went in pain, I was up next to him, holding on to him, because that's my brother. And I want to do what I can. I can't take his pain, but I can walk with him, you know, and to whatever degree that's appropriate. And the great joy is he has Sharon, who constantly was communicating with me, preparing this to make sure everything happened, to check on him as he was driving home afterwards, from my house to his. She cares for him. And I did say, I'm jealous. Because he's in pain. He can hardly do, he can't move, and so forth. Whereas last Friday, you know, I did my 11-mile hike up to the top of Big Frog Mountain and did sloppy jumpy jacks at the top. I'm in great health. But Jim's in a better position because he has a woman who loves him. I remember when I had my mild heart attack. I think that was the time when my wife made the comment about she would have seen my death as the Lord's mercy. Jim Leonard is loved. There's no evidence I am. But obviously I love my wife. And I sent her a postcard today. And on that, my bag of postcards. It's the last one from this pack. How many people have responded to the invitation? I can count them in, well, I don't need any hands. And I'm going to continue. How do I know I'm going to continue? Well, I have more. So that should get me comfortably into summer. And I'm not going to stop. As I point out, you know, I'm in a position, you may say a position of power. Because I have only gain from reconciliation. I have nothing to lose. But the person who reconciles with me has gain. Because reconciliation is an obedience to Christ. You know, being obedient to Christ is, you know, I think a good thing. But they have something to lose. They have something to lose in this world. And I would suggest there's an analogy between that and the Isaiah passage. You know, it's do not fear what they fear. Nor be in dread. If you fear the group of people I'm with, the institution, family, employers, whatever organization I'm a part of, the institutional church, if I reconcile with this guy, they may not like it. Because what that points out is what that institution, the family, the group has done or is doing. I know this is a hard word, but it's wrong. It's unloving. It's cruel. Or, as I pointed out before, it's the act of a cold-hearted killer. I'm going to... It is 1 John 3:15, which I would suggest if someone reconciles with me, who's in part of, especially the institutional church, because they're the ones that claim to be followers of Christ and use the Bible. What that points out, if like a group of elders, one elder says, yes, I'll reconcile with you. What does it make the other elders, the rest of the leadership of that institution, look like? They're showing, demonstrating, if they don't do the same, they're showing hate to me. 1 John 3:15 Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If someone reconciles with me, and the group they're in refuses, what they are doing is demonstrating to that group that those group are murderers, or the term I used, cold-hearted killers. The cold heart idea is from 2 Timothy, you know, their hearts were turned cold. So the weight that's put on someone who would reconcile with me, the response that they would get could be devastating to them. That's why I need to walk with them, to show them love, to show them an example of what it is to love, because obviously the institution they're a part of don't know how to do that. So, I have a mask. And I don't, yeah, you know, very purposely, you won't see that on my face. Chattanooga is safe again because I am no longer behind the wheel of a vehicle. And Lord willing, it'll be at least another 2.5 years before I am again. Although without hesitation, if Jim Leonard asks again, no question, I will do it. None whatsoever. Goes back to the idea discussed about, was it yesterday, about, you know, anyone who begs of you. No question, I would do it to Jim Leonard. For Jim Leonard. I sent the card to my wife today. I don't see any love from my wife. None whatsoever. I see photos of her because I'm continuing to put more photos online. And that woman's gorgeous. I have no remorse about becoming one with her. I celebrate every day we've had together. And I desire to have a whole lot more. I am committed to her. I will not turn from her. She is my one and only lady. There never was, nor will there ever will be someone else. It's her and her alone. Obviously, just as I talk about reconciliation with institutional leadership, what I'm doing is putting a huge weight on her. Because for my wife to reconcile with me, there will have to be admission that the refusal for 10 years not to reconcile was wrong. And especially for her, whatever the cost, I will take it. That's why when I proposed before, we have three options. You come here, I go there, or we go somewhere new. Simply because, especially the idea of going somewhere new, the weight of the reconciliation process can be taken away for the most part. Because the people around us, they don't need to know. I am going to pursue reconciliation all the days of my life. I'm not going to stop. Because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the privilege to demonstrate how I strive to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'm trying to demonstrate that now in an inviting way to others. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, your husband wants you back, very much so. I love you.